You know, excuse me. God said that what the church is in for one of the biggest surprises of their life, not a good surprise. He said, because he's been telling the church, he's been shaking it for quite a few years now. He said, now the final shake is here. And you're going to be surprised who's not going to be standing when he's finished. Because he says, he's given the church long enough now to get it together. And they haven't. You know, some have, some have. This is a place where their shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't fit, don't put it on. All right? You know, I never said in a service, not one time in my life since ever, that I ever felt guilty over was something the pastor was saying. Because I wasn't guilty of it, so I wasn't going to sit there and get offended and feel guilty, you know. And if there was something I was doing wrong, okay, I know my God can take care of it, so let him take care of it. Don't seem to feel guilt and condemnation. Say, all right, God, that's me. That shoe's really tight in my foot, so I give that to you right now, and I don't want to ever wear that shoe again. It wasn't comfortable. And you go on. And you don't fight with God, and you don't fight with your friends or your neighbors. You just go on. And the problem with the body of Christ is we do everything I just said. The other day, I had the flu again. I guess I gave it a good home the first time, so I came back to visit. And I was really sick, and somebody came in my room the night and said, you have to pray for me right now. Because I feel like I'm going to commit suicide. I feel like I just want to scream until I die. You've got to pray for me right now. And I'm thinking, I can't even really stand. So I said, okay, let's go to the study. Went out in the study, said, sit in the chair, and I started praying. Them devils manifested like you wouldn't believe. I was sick, but my spirit man wasn't. I mean, you know, and I could see into the spirit realm. I could see what was going on. I could see the devils leaving, and that person left there and not wanting to commit suicide and whatever else he was wanting to do. But one thing I did see when I was praying for them, see, what I'm saying is here, I don't care if you're sick or not, your spirit man's still alive and kicking, and you can still do the works for the Father. And, you know, one thing I saw was that their feet was on like burnt clay, you know. It wasn't a solid ground, it was burnt crusty looking clay, but it was brown. And I said, okay, I'm breaking up that. Oh, I told the angel to come and break up that ground, and so they would be able to have the good foundation from God. And the next thing I knew, I saw the person being dangled in the air, nothing under their feet, but the heavenly realm, you know. And then I saw a foundation start being built. And then they get up, they left, they was happy, and I went and laid back in the bed, and I said, God, you're so awesome. You're just so awesome. You know, once the anointing is there, and if you're really living for God, it doesn't matter how sick your body's saying it is, your spirit man says, I'm ready to fight. And fight he did, you know, and you call on the angels, and you know, and you can do anything, go back to your bed if you need to go back to your bed, you know, but get up and fight. Don't lay there and die. All right? This morning I went to a teach on Lou Engle from The Call, you know him. He's calling a 40-day worldwide church fast starting Monday. Now, because I was sick and then my computer went down, I don't have your packets about fasting. But we will have them either Tuesday or Wednesday here, and you can pick them up about different types of fasting and everything so you know what to do with fasting. They're calling the call, the fast to start. I have the dates here later on, but it's supposed to start Monday, a 40-day fast. It's going to be February 19th through March 30th. All right? Now, let's just talk about that. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. For Father, this is you calling this fast, and these people have to understand what fasting's all about. And Father God, we want to be in tune and in line with your word. And you told Lou Engle that all the churches should participate in this. So Father God, we are participating. And Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, God spoke to me and said, right before any great movement, he always calls his people to fast. And I know when he called me, you know, way back in 70-something, the first thing he had me do was start fasting. And so I was teaching everybody about fasting. And people hadn't even thought about fasting at that point. And they thought I'd gone crazy at that point, too. And people were saying, well, can I put my food in a blender and blend it up and drink it, you know, and all kind of stuff. So I taught to great length about fasting at that point. And so now we're in a new dispensation, 40-year dispensation of time. And now God is calling us people back to fasting because we got out of the fasting mode. With all kind of excuses, didn't we? And now he wants us back into fasting mode because that's where your strength and your power is at. Now, there's coming a time for the outpouring of the latter rain, and you must pray and fast to give birth to it. The scripture commands us in Zechariah 10:1, pray for the rain in the time of the latter rain. But how do we know when it's time? Now, God's been telling me for quite some time we are living in Joel chapter 2, but it took me to read Lou Engel's message to understand what God was trying to tell me, all right? Joel chapter 2 gives us a paradigm for recognizing these times and seasons. Joel's prophecy is set in the context of the utter destruction of the economic system of Israel due to the nation's spiritual apostasy. That is where we're at right now. You know, we're right there in the natural. The prophet gives God's prescription to the crisis. He calls for united fasting and prayer, after which he promises the restoration of the land of Israel and the outpouring of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit on all flesh, in other words, the Gentile nations. Now, Lou Engel said in his thing he wrote that after the fast is over is whenever he thinks and he believes it is when the glory is really going to hit, all right? By these two things, the outpourings of the Holy Spirit among the Gentiles and significant happenings concerning the state of Israel, we know we are in the time for Joel 2 fastings. This is what Lou Engel wrote, because of what's happening in the natural right now. And I agree with that. I believe we are in the hour when Jesus, the evangelist, is rising again, and this 40-day fast, the Jesus fast, is preparing the way for a new Jesus movement for the latter rain outpourings and transitions in Israel. Now, this is Lou Engel. Let's go back and see what he says. Well, can I fast just a donut? Look what he says. I believe we're in the hour when Jesus, the evangelist, is rising again, and this 40-day fast, the Jesus fast, he fasted everything but water, right? Is preparing the way for a new Jesus movement for the latter rain outpourings and transitions in Israel. When Daniel knew it was his time, he set his face to fast. Revelation demands participation. In other words, it was revealed to Daniel he had to fast, so he had to participate and fast. God's shown us we have to fast. We're getting revelation this morning. Don't you wish you stayed home? So we have to participate. Amen. Therefore, February 19th through March 30th, we are calling for a 40-day season of fasting across the wider body of Christ. This is what Lou Engel from the call said. Well, he said all this, really. Let's contend for that fresh outpouring of his Spirit and for God's restraining hand over the affairs of Jerusalem and Israel. It's time to shape history with prayer and fasting. Blow the trumpet in Zion, call the fast. We blew the trumpet. I've called the fast. The fast starts February 19th through March 30th. Now, if you're going to go with the Jesus fast, all you do is drink water. But if you want to mix and mingle things, you'll have to wait till we get you to pack it. Then you can pick the one you want to do. But Lou Engel is saying, let's do the Jesus fast, just water. Now, I don't know about your medical situations. You all know that kind of stuff, all right? So you do what you know your body can do. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Let's contend for the fresh outpouring of his Spirit. Oh, we said that, didn't we? Luke 24:49 says, and look, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, This is me. This is what I'm teaching now. God has called us to be a people who carry the substance of his presence and have a live connection to the power of his Holy Spirit. God has called us to be a people who carry the substance of his presence and have a live connection to the power of his Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high, Jesus knew the basic importance of that power to our lives and for the gospel to be fully demonstrated. As we're going through this fast, God wants to give us power from on high. When you fast and you pray, you get really close to God. I can vouch for that. After 40 years of fasting and praying, you get closer to God than you ever do when you're fasting and when you're praying. And when you're fasting and you're praying, you're going to hear God more clearly. You're going to have more power and you're going to have more authority. Now, see, I was sick, so I wasn't eating, so I was fasting. And because I was wanting to be healed, I was praying constantly. So I was fasting and I was praying. When the person come wanted prayer, God's power was there. Are you understanding this? See how this works? Let's look at the... All right, if the disciples would have gone out without following the words Jesus had spoken to them, you know, if they had left the upper room, not waiting to be clothed with the power of the Spirit in Jerusalem, it would have been a flop. No Holy Spirit and no power. So I am suggesting, strongly suggesting, that as you fast and you pray, you quit your gossiping, you quit your calling your friends, stay in your prayer closet and seek God's face. And fast and pray, have your little tablet or your computer, whatever, on hand, and write down the things God is telling you. Because I'm going to tell you, he speaks constantly when you're fasting and when you're praying. You don't want to miss not one word that he's telling you. All right, the power in the life of Jesus. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see he was totally connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus fasted for 40 days in Mark 1:13. And Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. If you read all of Mark there, where he was taken into the wilderness and he was fasting, it says that he hungered. It did not say thirst. So that meant he didn't eat. Remember, the devil kept saying, you can turn these stones into bread. He was tempting him to eat. So keep your peanut jar closed, all right? Don't let him tempt you to eat something that you really like. So what did Larry do? He not bought me a whole big jar of peanuts. So I have to hide them. All right. After that time in the desert, he was anointed. See, let's read Mark 1:13 again. And Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. Do you think Satan's not going to tempt you? Well, you just have to eat, you know. After all, my blood sugar's low or whatever, you know, he'll do those things to you. And Jesus was with a wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. So if I was you, I would tell the angels, I would call on the angels to come and minister to my little hungry stomach. You see with that? See what I'm saying? Use the angels now while you're fasting. After that time in the desert, he was anointed with power to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. You want healing? Here's your answer. The power of God breaks all oppression. As Jesus sought the face of God for 40 days sacrificially, you know, he had to give up his eating, he was clothed with power for the task which God had called him to. Now, what has God called you to do? If God has called you to a ministry and you still haven't fasted your 40 days, shame on you. Now, don't tell me you can't fast for 40 days, because I've told you before, I fasted 40 days. I drank something one day, and the next day went back on a 40-day fast, back to back. Never hungered. Didn't die. My mother said, you're going to die. You know, I didn't die. I'm still here. You die when you eat too much. Amen. Luke 4:14. Jesus returned in the power, it tells us that after he fasted, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and his fame went throughout the surrounding region. People are going to look at you, and you're going to be skinny, and you're going to have power, and you're going to have authority, and you're going to be a witness for Jesus. I put skinny first because that's the first thing everybody starts stepping on a scale. How much weight have I lost today because I haven't ate, right? But let's not worry. It's not about being skinny. It's about getting power and authority from God. So we can go forth and we can do the great and mighty works that God is sending us forth to do. That's what this is all about. With Jesus as our example, we cannot expect results, including changed lives, people set free from oppression and healing and miracles apart from a life of sacrifice. Let's read that again. With Jesus as our example, now that's one statement, we cannot expect results, including changed lives, people set free from oppression and healing and miracles apart from a life of sacrifice. In other words, if you can't set yourself apart to do this fasting, then you can't set people free. You can't do any of those things. Jesus couldn't do it until after he fasted. We can't do it until we fast and we pray. All right? Why is it when I lay hands on the sick, they don't recover? Well, how many days have you fasted? You see what I'm saying? How come it is the devil keeps plaguing me over and over and over again? Have you fasted to let God really let you see what is really going on in your life? See, fasting has, if you expect to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, fasting has to be part of your lifestyle from this day forward. It really does. How did I have the power and authority to raise the dead? I was always fasting and praying. You know, I was thinking about this the other day as I was laying in bed, and I thought about, you know, the one guy who, you know, I brought him back to life three times, and every time he came back, he told me, he said, I didn't want to come back, but God opened up heaven and let me see you down there praying. He said, you have to go back because she's praying. Why did he have to go back? Because I was praying. Because I was fasting. And I had the power and authority of God on me. Are you understanding this? The man didn't want to come back. God didn't care if he stayed up there or not. Because you just have to go back because she's praying. Now see, that's what fasting will do for you. It will give you that power and that authority. How did I raise a dead dog back to life? Because I was fasting and praying. And I had the power and authority, and death had to bow to the power and authority of God. You know, I was just thinking about all this stuff, and God said you could do all this stuff because you fasted all the time. Are you listening here? In the last 10 years, I haven't been fasting like God, and I really haven't had the power and the authority that I should have been having. All because, and God said, the food you're eating is killing you. It was really killing me spiritually. Do you understand this? Come on. You would say, oh, look, he can't quit smoking. Well, you can't quit eating. So get your finger back in your pocket. Are you understanding that? Say, well, I have to eat to live. No, you don't. I told you the story, I think, one time about this man who was with, you know, Kenneth Hagin Sr. knew, and he was an older man. And when he was a young boy, God told him, he said, I want you all your life, all you're going to eat is water and saltine crackers. That's all he ever ate, was water and saltine crackers. And Kenneth Hagin went to his doctor and said, can you live on that? He says, no way can you live. You'd die. Your body would starve to death. That man lived to be, I think, 90-some years old. Water and saltine crackers. You'd die if somebody told you how to do that. Amen? Come on. It was a sacrifice for the disciples to go and wait for that extended period of time in the upper room. They didn't have any food up there. We don't know all the details of what transpired there, but can only imagine that they followed the best example that they knew, and that was Jesus. Since they were there with him for 3 years, and they always saw him fast and pray. He cooked for them and he didn't eat, so don't say, well, you know, I can't cook because I'm fasting. Well, then you're not really fasting for the right reason. You should be able to cook and fast too. Keep your finger, don't dip your finger in the bowl to see if it tastes right. just cook it and say, there it is. You tasted. The price they would have to pay was not a mystery because they'd walked with Jesus. The price we have to pay with this fasting is not a mystery. It's all through the Word. Old Testament clear through the New Testament. They knew what had to be done because they had seen it demonstrated before them over and over again. That's why Sister Nancy Willis isn't here today. She's sick, she says. She didn't want to hear the thing on fasting. I'm just teasing. You mentioned the fasting to her. She said, let me get my blender out. That's just a joke between her and I because she's the one that called me and said, can I please blend my food and drink it? I said, no. No, you can't. See, it's really a sacrifice to fast. And when you're used to eating, we all know that, you know. There was a reason Jesus did not just have ministry on earth for 3 months. He had to set the example for his disciples in such a way that it would be embedded in their hearts and minds so that when he was gone, they would remember the dynamic keys they saw in his life. See, I'm not a good example because I haven't been fasting. Are you understanding this? Don't y'all point your finger at me. I look at you and you aren't fasting either. So, all right, the power of fasting and prayer. Matthew 17:14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, this is to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So there you have to have faith, all right? However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So you have to have your faith activated. Then you have to do your prayer and fasting, and then you'll be able to do the impossible. What is the implication of what Jesus is saying here? The picture is that the disciples were not able to cast out the demon, not able to set the person free. And why was that? Jesus makes it clear here that this person could not be freed except through fasting and prayer. Also connecting this activity to that activation of faith in the heart. All right? I'm going to stop and say something here. You know, when you're praying for somebody, you know, if you're fasting and you're praying and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing to have the power and the authority, you know, in control, that when you're praying for somebody, sometimes you have to keep praying. And I don't mean for days. I mean, all right, so I'll just give you an example. One time my niece came because she had been hurt and she couldn't talk, and so she's halfway crippled, and she went underneath a little Miss Debbie truck and got, you know, hurt. And she came to the church for me to pray with her so she could be healed. All right, so here's what happened. After the service, at the end of the service, I went to pray for her, and she went out in the spirit on the floor, but I kept praying for her, and I felt the faith building up down inside of here, and it just kept bubbling up, bubbling up, and bubbling up. Then all of a sudden, I looked around. Everybody else was standing around talking and laughing. And I thought, they don't even care if she gets healed or not. And I quit praying. That was quite a few years ago. Let's say maybe 25. She's still bound up with that infirmity today. Because I took my eyes off of praying for her and the miracle I was expecting and she was expecting. Put my eyes on the circumstances around about me. And she didn't get her healing. But what I'm saying here, the faith was building, and God was going to heal her that day. To this day, I feel very guilty about that, because it's my fault that I took my eyes off of her condition. This is why I don't like anybody carrying on in here while we're doing ministry, because it does disturb the Holy Spirit. Whenever I raised the dog from the dead, I was a deacon at a church. I'm showing you. You have to use your faith here. And Jimmy said, if you don't bring him back to life, I'm going to tell everybody in the church that you hit him on the head and killed him. And so, you know, I'm down there just a praying for that little dog. He's dead. And he said, you better pray harder. I said, but honey, he's not, I can't bring a dog back to life. You better pray. I'm going to tell the church what you did. And so I just kept praying and praying. And I felt the same thing. The faith was bubbling up. And the more, he said, you better pray harder. And the faith kept bubbling up. Next thing I know, the dog goes, woof. And he came back to life. But I felt my faith. But he was edging me on. You better pray harder or I would have quit. I didn't want him to go to church and say, my grandmother's deacon here and she hit the dog in the head. I did it by accident. But, you know, he wouldn't have said it that way, you know. But still, I'm telling you, it takes, you have to have the power and authority through prayer and fasting. But it takes the faith. You just can't say, well, I've been praying, I've been fasting, so I have all power and authority. I can just do anything. No, you have to act your faith all the time. Keep it activated, all right? And just don't be raising the dead just because you want to say, look, I raised the dead. Because here's what I, by raising three people and a dog, I found out this. Well, the dog didn't care. But you know what? Well, he did care. But the people really and truly did not want to come back. So you're out there trying to show your power and authority that you have in Christ. And you're raising the people, you know, from the dead back to life. And they really don't want to come back to life. But they have to come because there you are down there doing your thing. You know, so please. Now, you know, I said, God, what do you really want to do? What's your will here for this person? You know, what do you want to do? Should I go ahead and pray them back or should I just let them there with you? And he lets me know. All right, my mother, I'm so dingy, I didn't know she was dying. And I really didn't. And I just kept thanking God every day that he was keeping her alive, you know, and then he was totally healing her, and he did heal her. And then one day God said, your mother really wants to come home with me, but she can't because you're holding her down here. And he said, if you would release her, she'd be out of her pain. So I went to the hospital that day. I said, Mom, do you really want to die and go home with Jesus? She says, can I? I said, yeah. I said, go ahead. And she passed. She died. But see, because I was praying, God had to keep her alive. Are you understanding this? See, selfish. I didn't want my mother to leave. So please, you know, just don't do things to say you're raising the dead. Do it for the right reason. When I was doing it, I just knew the Bible said I could do it. So I was doing it without seeking God's face. Do you really want me to do this? And the one person I'd raised back to life three times, and God said to me, he said, daughter, I'm going to take him on home, you know, after the third time. He says, I'm going to do it 5:00 in the morning. He says, but it's up to you. Then he said to me, it's up to you, though. But if you ask me to keep him here, I will, but he won't ever come to heaven because he's never going to do what I'm asking him to do. But right now, he's ready to go. If you'll let me take him, he said he'll come and be with me. But he said, the choice is yours. It was my choice. I thought about it a little bit because this young man had a lot of, you know, life ahead. He was only in his early 30s. He had a lot of life ahead of him. But then God said he wouldn't serve him. He was supposed to leave his wife and wouldn't leave his wife. That was what was holding him back. I said, God, go ahead and take him. He said, you're going to call at 5:00 in the morning. That's when I'm going to take him. And I told his brother, you're going to get a call at 5:00 that he's gone and I'm not praying him back again. But, you know, I had the power and authority with Christ. Either let that man live or die. Do you understand how much power and authority that is? Do you understand what praying and fasting, living a holy life, being sold out to God, do you understand the miracles that you can perform? A price had to be paid for faith to be activated in their hearts. We're talking about the disciples. There was another clue. Jesus was able to cast, we're talking about why they couldn't cast these devils out, all right? Jesus was able to cast out the demon. The implications of what Jesus said are that he himself was living a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. Therefore, he was able to deliver the person. You know, as I was laying there and I was thinking about all this, I was thinking that's why whenever I did the deliverance, you know, I was at a deliverance team. I was praying. I was fasting all the time. I had the power and authority, and the devils had to come out. Remember, Brother Alan, when I would come down and talk, they had to come out, didn't they? They could not come out because I said, look, I was training people, and they couldn't get the devils to move, could they? But I bent down and I whispered in your ear, this is the voice of God. And they screamed and they come out, didn't they? See, because you're praying, you're fasting, you're living a holy life, you have power and authority over the devil. All right? And, you know, if you don't fast after the day, you really don't want God. You really don't. There is a price to pay. Salvation is a free gift, but to activate faith, accessing God's power, is not. It's not a free gift. There's a sacrifice. There is a price that has to be paid to walk in his power. Jesus laid out the price very clearly here. It is not a popular price. Food is glorified in our society, especially in the days we live in. It is pushed on billboards, commercials, your mailbox, and everywhere you can think of. Little trucks go by your car. There's a big donuts all over the place, right? Fried chicken, right? It's everywhere. You weren't even thinking about eating, but that does really sound good, look good. I think I'll go get some. Amen. God has a better plan. God wants you free, and he wants you to be able to set others free by his power. When we talk about the goodness of God, our best example is Jesus, who went everywhere setting people free through the power of the Holy Spirit. He went everywhere. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He just didn't do some, he did all. Jesus went about doing good by demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. Are you demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God? Come on. Why do you think your mind sits around thinks about evil things? Because you don't have the power of God inside of you. I know some of you say, I fasted. Yeah, I know what kind of fast you do too. Fast for the day, and then you night you just gorge yourself. That's not fasting. That's pretending like you're too busy to eat, and all of a sudden, oh, it's time to eat now. Let's just eat a whole bunch. What this means is that a powerless life will have a very hard time demonstrating God's goodness. What this means is that a powerless life will have a very hard time demonstrating God's goodness. Religion has done a good job of associating God's goodness with mere words. But mere words do not demonstrate the fullness of God's goodness. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I have to tell myself right now, you know, I haven't taught on fasting, have I? I've told Sister Barbara Alsop, I said, you know, whatever a pastor's guilty of, they'll condone it in others. And they won't preach about it or teach about it. Well, God's been dealing with me about fasting. I think everybody knows that. And I start a fast. I fast one day, get into the second day, and I think I might go eat. One of the kids really will say, Mom, dinner's ready. Come on down and eat. And I, run down there and eat. Well, so I'm not really fasting because I keep breaking it. But now I'm going to fast. And I'm going to teach you to fast too. And I'm going to be your example. Amen. Come on. And God said, if you're not going to live it, don't teach it. Well, I'm going to live it now. And you're going to wish I wasn't. I'm going to check all you girls' dress sizes before you start. All right. Where am I at, Nancy? 1 Corinthians 4:20. I read that. I said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We must be a people who live by the power of God, not by impressive words, intellectualism, or man-made systems that try to help people. I'm so sick and tired of that. Come on, church. God said the church has got to change. And if the church is not willing to change, God's going to bypass whatever church won't change. God's going to bypass it. Each one of us individually make up the church, right? So if you're part of the church, if you aren't going to change, he'll bypass you and go to somebody else. But the church has to change, and right now we've got to change. We have to turn the plate over, and we have to fast, and we have to pray, and we have to get the power and the glory of God. You know, Elaine, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and your friend, I never can think of his name, but if you and your friend, when you was up on the street, you have had so much power and authority, they're just walking down the street, the demons of alcoholism, drug, you know, the addiction would jump out of the people, and they'd be totally set free, and I've got the Holy Spirit just came over me just now, and that's what God wants y'all to do. And through this fasting and praying, that's what's going to happen. God said, I've been setting you two up for such a time as this. Amen. Come on, isn't that awesome? Lost my place again over all that. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God, for we also are weak in him. You were talking about Jesus. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Jesus had all power and authority, and we claim Jesus lives inside of us, so then we should have all power and authority. When the glory is manifested, as we seek the face of God, the presence, God's glory, should be manifested in our lives. When we seek the face of God, which is the presence of God, God's glory should be manifested in our lives. When his glory is manifested, there is the potential of his power to be released through us. It is the power of God that brings a person to salvation, that sets someone free, brings healing, and causes miracles to happen. Do you lean on what you know, or do you lean upon God's power? It's, you know, God said he wants us to come to him as little children, and that is so true. Isn't that true? Because, you know, we go, us big intellect, you know, prideful people go to God. And I'm not going to put myself in that category because I'm not that. But, you know, these intellectual people are full of pride. They put, you know, walk around like they're all that and then some. And they aren't walking with God. They're walking in what they know. And God does not honor that. He does not. All right, what do you depend on? Where does your trust lie? We are to be dependent upon him, God, knowing that his power is able to deliver. I can't deliver you from nothing, but the power of God inside of me can. Come on. And you know what? If you really have the power of God inside you, every time you walk by somebody that's in sin, you'll get angry. I said, God, why do I get angry so much? He said, because that's that sin nature in them that I'm upset about, and I live in you, so therefore I'm manifesting through you. Are you listening here? And you know, and I said, God, I don't want to get angry. He said, I'm trying to get their attention. Oh, they are, you are, but they're against me. You know, and they're not changing because they just think it's me being ignorant. But it's not you being ignorant. It's the God in you. It's the power of God in you that's fed up with the sin around you. Are you understanding this? So don't try to stifle that anger. Just so say, okay, God, you know, that person's in sin. And, you know, pray for that person. The gap that needs bridged is where what we know is not just an experience. Listen to that. The gap that needs to be bridged is where what we know is not just an experience. God wants you to experience his power for yourself, then know it has no limits, and to be able to bring it to others. Just for you to experience God's power is doing nothing for you. You have to know that it has no limits, and then you go out and you just spread it wherever it goes. All right? You know, if God's called you to a ministry and you're fasting and you're praying and you have God's power and authority in you, you can go anywhere and minister, and you'll never be afraid that you're going to say or do something wrong. Because you're going to know that God is in you, that he has sent you, and you don't care what the faces are saying to you, because you know you're in Christ. See, I'm saying that because whenever I first started going out in the evangelistic field, I'd say, God, there's nothing but pastors going to be at these meetings, because, you know, they would tell me he was going to be there. I don't have nothing to tell them. I just got started. They've had these churches for 30, 40, 50 years. He said, you have something to take to them. And I'd go in there, and I would be bold, and I'd get up there. You know, it was no ignorant bold. It was God in me bold. And I was, you can ask Larry, I was very humble one night, very submissive. When I got behind that pulpit, God took over, and he ministered to those ministers. Some of them got words that they weren't right. Some of them cried, you know, all kind of things happened. And I didn't care what anybody said, because, and I wasn't ignorant in that attitude either. I knew that I walked with God, and I knew God was in me, and I knew he was always in control. And I never let anybody manipulate me, because God didn't send me to be manipulated. He sent me to be a messenger. All right, I'm hearing him say, of peace and hope. So whenever you go out to minister, be fasting, be praying, know that you have the power of God within you, and you'll go with boldness. And I'm going to tell you another thing. If you go with boldness, those that come in to sit there to criticize you, God's going to put them down. And they won't be able to open their mouth against you, because God will shut it. Larry's witnessed that many times when we've gone out. We've witnessed it right in here. Finally, the pastor just left me alone. But, you know, I don't care. I just know who called me. And I know who's in me. See, I'm secure in my walk with God. The problem is people are not secure in their walk with God. Why? Because you have not submitted your whole self to God. You have not gone the fasting route. You'll be criticized for that too. You will. And because you don't have all power and authority, the enemy has a sway over you. So remember that. God has a supercharge for your life when you tap into his power. He wants to fully equip you to demonstrate his kingdom to others. See this? He wants to fully equip you, not just partially. What are you going to do, Astra, whenever, you know, God's going to put you in a ministry? You're going to be a minister to the, what's your nationality? Spanish. To the Spanish. Now, are you going to get up there and fumble around behind the pulpit? Or are you going to be full of the glory of God and be fasting and be praying, have all power and authority, and know that you know that what you tell the people is from God? See? And you aren't going to let other people try to tell you how to do it, because it's your ministry. See, Barbara doesn't have that freedom because she has to, you know, she does, but you're going to have, you know, like you're going to be a pastor and you're going to be ministering to people. Just like Elaine and, is it Kurt? Mark. I always want to call you Kurt. That's why I don't call you. But that's why the two of you have your own ministry on that street. You don't have anybody telling you, you can't go at this hour, you can't go at that hour. You go when the Holy Spirit prompts you. Isn't that what you do? And you do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do, don't you? And you have you feel safe in that, secure in that, don't you? See, that's all, and I'm getting the spirit of that too. That's all God. That's God's ordained ministry for you too. All right? I was just saying about Barbara, she could open her own church because she has what it takes. But right now, God's called her to do the Aglow thing. And she has to prove herself faithful in that. All right? That young lady can sing like a bird. I need to get with her, and she needs to sing a solo for us. Amen. That child, and little Isaiah looked back. He kept looking back. He said, "Can't she sing beautiful?" He said. It's all during praise and worship. Kept looking back at her. She can really sing. She's anointed to sing. All right, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's read that again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you to give you what you need to go forth and do the works God's calling you forth to do. We need to tap into God's power supply and carry it to the nations. Come on. Do you understand why God keeps having me pound you half to death with holiness? You cannot carry God's power if you're not holy. You just can't. You cannot. You have no power, no authority, because like Katie Souza said, you have something in common with the devil. And he will always come and destroy your ministry. Now, in front of your bulletins, if you tuck your bulletins away, get it out, we're going to read that one scripture. It's the one Matthew 6:16-18. Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Don't go around saying, I'm fasting, I can't eat that. Just be quiet. Don't tell anybody. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Why? So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. See, that he didn't say if you fast, when. God expects all of us who want power and authority from on high to fast. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have to fast, saints, and now is the time. And I don't want to hear no excuses. If you want to take your excuses, God, go ahead. He'll close his ears. He won't listen. Because there's no excuses not to fast. Except, what was that you blew over us? Numbness. Yeah, numbness. You're numb to the fact that you're supposed to fast. You just don't want to eat. But we're not going to eat, are we? And like I say, we will have a packet ready for you so that you can have the different types of fasts you can go to. But I was sick, and then my computer went down and didn't come up about 6 o'clock this morning. And so I couldn't get that stuff ready for you, and I'm sorry. Now, God, you people come here. God is preparing you to send you forth as a leader that he's always been telling you you're going to be. This is the last leg on your journey. You pass this test and you've got it. You have it made. Then God will be able then to send you forth into your ministry. And you'll be doing the things that God has called you forth to do. Fasting can be used for any reason. Finances, it can be used for anything. And Larry has a real good one on that we're going to give you. You know, different things that can happen when you're fasting. This is a tool. You know, God told me one time we are not using all the tools that he put in his word. And this is a tool that's been far too long overlooked. And we need to use this tool of fasting so that God can give us power and authority. Now, I know that Brittany's thin. But Brittany, when I was fasting, I went down to 90 pounds. I still lived. I have clothes to prove that. You know, you aren't going to die. Your parents are going to say you're going to die. Your belly's going to say you're going to die. But in about 3 days, it quits telling you that. In about 3 days, it just quits and just says, oh, well, she's going crazy anyhow, so might as well forget about that. And then you go on and you'll be fine. And don't let anybody tempt you. The little Miss Debbie truck or whatever does. People bring muffins into the church, into work or whatever. Don't be tempted by all that. And let's just fast, because this is it, guys. Chris Lynch, this is it. Him and I talk about, I need to fast, but we do that quite a bit, don't we? We're not saying that no more, are we? Nuh-uh. I'm fasting, boy, and I'm happy. You little liar. Come on. I'm just teasing with him. Now, come on now. We're all in this together, right? It's a worldwide church fast. And what you're going to gain from it, you're going to be so happy you did it. Now, God said he wants you to come up here and stand, and he's going to anoint you to be able to fast. He's going to anoint you to be able to fast. If God calls you on a fast, you won't have much trouble with it. And God is calling us on this fast